And welcome back to Mugs in the Morning here on KODY. As always, it's presented to you by Shelter Insurance Agents, Bo, Brent, and Pete. Community strong all day long. Wrapping up the conversation on the EEA, we're going to continue this conversation quite a bit here in the coming days and coming weeks and even the coming months. But, George, you had a quick note you wanted to reiterate.
Well, yeah, I was trying to get a word in there, but you were so quick I couldn't hardly do it. But, yeah, I just think it's important to reiterate that the tax is 1.9%. That would be an add-on to your sales tax, so everybody understands that. But it only applies to people that shop there. So it's not across-the-board community in tax increase. It's just for the people that would shop there.
Yeah, just at the mall location.
Yeah, yeah. And it would generate considerable amount of money, according to projections, mm-hmm. over a period of time, so about 20 years. So it's an interesting concept. But it needs. I think people need to realize it's a limited situation. It's not a broad mm-hmm. Tax increase, and not a big tax increase. That's all I'm going
to
say.
We welcome in Brenda Ochtenkamp joining us again this morning. Brenda, glad to have you in the studio.
Great. Thank you.
Talking a little bit about the extension.
Yeah, no, we are, and I just wanted to. I guess as spring comes on, and we're all getting excited to get outside more. I'm starting to think about those foods that we don't get, but other you know, this time of the year or whatever. And so I thought I'd bring up rhubarb. I know my rhubarb is coming on, and if you didn't know, rhubarb is high in calcium and vitamin C, which you don't normally think about, but that's a huge calcium boost as well as vitamin C. And you know, you only eat the leaves or the stems. The leaves are toxic, so you don't eat the leaves. They're mm-hmm. the toxic part mm-hmm. of the plant, and so you're wanting that stem of the rhubarb to grow. And so that's what you're waiting for, and I know mine is getting there, and so I'm excited to do some of those chutneys that you do to put on various things, or I have a great rhubarb jam that I love making, and all of those kind of things. But start seeking out recipes to use the rhubarb, and what I'd encourage you to do if you don't have, you know, not fortunate enough to have rhubarb in your backyard, start looking as you drive around town, because I think there's a lot of individuals that have rhubarb that have been there for years and years, and you know a rhubarb plant is one of those perennials that comes back and mm-hmm. hard to really get rid of, but there's probably a neighbor or somebody that you could knock on their door and say, could I cut a little bit of your rhubarb?
They'd be happy to get
yes,
rid of some.
Yes, but I think we have to take advantage of that, you know, and as we've been told and we hear time and time again, we've got to increase our fruits and vegetables consumption, so let us prey upon this time of the year when we get those fresh, special things that you don't get other times of the year. Rhubarb, asparagus is the other one, you know, and asparagus is huge fiber. And so there, again, if you're fortunate enough to have an asparagus bed, take quite a bit of time, and you have to cultivate them for a number of years before you get a good stand of asparagus, but you can always seek out wild asparagus in this area is pretty prevalent. And as much moisture as we've had, it'd be good. But a great fiber boost. And so those are really two fruits and vegetables that I want to just point out this morning, Tristan, that are great ones that are coming on. And, you know, it's not just...
Once an asparagus stand is takes hold, it really produces.
Yes, right. Once it takes hold.
Yeah.
But getting it to that point, and if you start from the plugs, it takes you 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
To get the stand, but
yeah,
no.
It comes on and it comes up early and it's good to go.
It does, and I don't have an asparagus bed, but I bet you it's starting to peek through, and as soon as we get through with these nice, cool spring mornings, we will be on to asparagus, rhubarb, and all of those fun vegetables of the season. So I wanted to remind you of that. The other thing I said over there, Tristan, is we are testing the pressure canner gauges again.
We talked about that a little bit last week.
And so I've just started promoting that. And so pretty much if you have a dial gauge pressure canner, you can bring in the lid or the gauge to the extension office here in North Platte, and we will test that for $5 a gauge. And what we're asking is that you would fill out some information, drop it off, and that you would leave it, and then we're going to test those once a week, and you'd pick it up the following Monday. So it does take 2 visits to our office, you know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So think about that as you're coming to North Platte or coming to town. But a great thing, and if you haven't had it tested in a number of years, I would tell you, you really need to do that to make sure that you know,
for
you know,
safety and quality assurance.
And even if the gauge gets off by a pound or two, whether it's up or down, you can go ahead and use that gauge. But by us testing it, we're going to give you the your measurement so that you can compensate as you pressure can throughout the whole summer season, you know. So get it in here, get it tested for $5, pretty reasonable. The $5 just allows me to keep my tester up to date and current and all of those things, and that's something that I send that tester in every year, sent it in last fall to have it recalibrated and so that we know that we're up to date on how it's reading.
Anything else you'd like to have this morning, Brenda?
Nope, I think that's it. Thank you very much. I'll let you go, but pressure canners, and then let's get out and enjoy those vegetables, the rhubarb, the asparagus, those kind of things of the season.
Time to get outdoors.
Here comes the growing season.
It is. It is. I'm going to leave these for Tristan, so call him. He can even give you a rhubarb recipe or so.
You like rhubarb pie? That's what we always had at our place. Rhubarb pie, is that what you like?
Yeah, rhubarb pie would be good. You know, and that's the thing I think about. I have to chuckle.
Always had a lot of that.
Rhubarb is great, and that's why I say calcium is huge in it, the fiber and the vitamin C. But I think you have to be careful what you make with it because it usually takes so much sugar to compensate for it. So now I do have some rhubarb muffins here that really aren't too high in sugar, but it's a matter of combination. And this recipe calls for the brown sugar versus the granulated sugar, so a new way in both of these. And then there's a rhubarb strawberry crumble, which would probably be comparable to like a crisp or something.
Cool.
And then there's a quinoa porridge. So there again, if you've not used the quinoa over an oatmeal or a cream of wheat or something, some great ways to do that and incorporate those fruits of the
interesting
season.
Brenda,
as always, we appreciate the time. Good to have you in the studio.
Thank you very much.
Month. More coming up on Mugs in the Morning after a quick news break on KODY.